Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day, what it means. But we are well aware that it's just the beginning. And we pray that the words that we have heard about the triumphal entry and about the passion of Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray that we might hear them, hear the truth that they offer, and have understanding for our own lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was growing up, one of my dad's favorite comedians was Myron Cohen. Now, Myron was a Bush Belt comedian. He died in 1986. He was born in Poland and came to this country and started selling silk. He said people would laugh at my jokes but not buy my silk. So he decided to become a comedian. And he was on the Ed Sullivan Show and the Johnny Carson Show a number of times. And I think my brother and I gave it to him. I'm not sure how he got it. Later on, when we were getting a little older, my dad got a vinyl record. Remember those things? Of Myron Cohen doing a set of jokes. And there was one on it, and I know he's not the only one that does it, but you see, he did his with this Polish-Jewish inflection and so forth, and it was really funny. And I think I tried to find it online. You can get some of his stuff on online, but this is one that I remember. A gentleman goes into a restaurant and orders a lobster. And the waiter brings him the lobster, and the customer just sits there looking at the lobster. And the waiter says, "Is there something wrong with your lobster, sir?" And the gentleman looks at the lobster and looks at the waiter. "Look, it has only one claw. Where's the other claw?" The waiter says, "Well, sir, the lobster was probably in a fight with another lobster and lost his claw. And we serve lots of lobsters with only one claw." The gentleman looks at the lobster and he looks at the waiter. "Bring me the winner." I will come back to that. Believe it or not, it does enter. But today we celebrate the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. An entry, a parade that, as we heard a little bit of in the prophet Zechariah of the Old Testament, centuries before, he had prophesied this parade or what Jesus did. We read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Now the city in the time of Jesus, as we all know, was under Roman occupation and Roman oppression. And the people were looking for the Messiah. They figured if any time was right for the Messiah to come, this is it. And they believed that the prophet or the Messiah would come because the prophet Zechariah had intimated it. It would be one who was strong and powerful. One who could command peace. The lobster with two claws, not one. And yet, the Jesus that the people see walking into Jerusalem or riding into Jerusalem on that day does not seem to equal that picture. Oh, sure, they heard about the stories about the miracles this guy has done. But he just doesn't seem Messiah-like. doesn't even keep the laws. We want our heroes to be strong and powerful. Many this week were happy that our president sent missiles to Syria. He looks strong. That's the kind of leader we want. Yet Jesus doesn't fit that picture. He preaches and he heals. But that's not the definition of a strong leader. A powerful person. And as the week goes on, he's going to look less and less like a leader or a powerful person. Now, let me say at this point, the scholars have determined that the people who shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday are not the same people who shouted Crucify Him on Good Friday. They're two separate groups of people. And every year, we shout our Hosannas on this Sunday. But do we really understand what it means? In other words, what it means to shout Hosanna for Jesus as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Are we ready to accept Jesus' vision of Messiahship? If we are open to receiving it, Jesus radically changes our concept of what a Messiah is, of the kind of life we are to live. Remember, Jesus is the one who did say, anyone who wants to follow me must take up their cross and follow me. And I hear those words, and while it may not mean literally physical death, it does mean to me that there is a death that has to happen if we are to follow Christ. It's the death of our wants and our desires so that God's wants and God's desires can be fulfilled. That's what Holy Week is all about. Jesus prayed in the garden after the Last Supper, God, please let this cup pass from me. Now, that's the prayer we all would pray had we been in the same boat. But then there's part B to that prayer. But not my will, but your will be done. I think that's the part of the prayer that most of us, if not all of us, would have a hard time praying. I would venture to say that we would stop after the first half and just keep praying that first half over and over and over. We don't want to be weak. We want to be strong. We want to be secure. And that's why we find it so hard to go through this coming week. And why many will choose not to do so. They will jump from today and then come next Easter. Or come next Sunday on Easter. And skip Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday. Good Friday especially reminds us that there are things that we need to put to death in our lives. Those are the things that we say and do that continue, as much as we hate to admit it, they continue to drive nails into Jesus' hands and feet and into the cross. The ways that we are more concerned about our safety over being present with others who are different than us. We don't want to appear weak. We don't want to be taken advantage of. However, as I said, often that kind of thinking just drives more nails into the cross. We have to deal with the decisions that we make that cause death that are in us. We have to bring it out into the open where it can be washed away by the loving grace of God, which is what Easter is all about. That's what next Sunday's about. But we got to get there first. And are we ready to bring our sin out into the open? Are we ready to be honest with ourselves and see the ways that we have neglected to offer the love and compassion of Christ because we are afraid? That's not a faith for wimps. That's a faith for strong people. People strong in the love of God and the love for God. You see, the people of Jesus' day on that first Palm Sunday had it backwards. Jesus looked un-Messiah-like, but in the end, he was the most Messiah-like. And often we get it wrong too. The writer of the Gospel of Matthew makes it very evident with the mount that Jesus is riding. John Dominic Cross, a famous and very knowledgeable scholar, biblical scholar, points out, Matthew wants two animals, a donkey with her little colt beside her, and that Jesus rides them in the sense of having them both as a part of his demonstration's highly visible symbolism. In other words, Jesus does not ride a stallion or a mare or a mule or a male donkey, or not even a female donkey. He rides the most unmilitary mount imaginable, a female nursing donkey with her little colt trotting beside her. He does not ride the war horse, nor does he take away the nursing mother from his child, her child. Palm Sunday challenges our concepts of power and our rights as opposed to the rights of everyone else. He's not about making us great again, but about the power to transform people. It's not about the power to impose our will. Think about it. The Jewish hierarchy tried to impose their will. Pilate tried to impose his will. The soldiers tried to impose their will. But in the end, the one who looked weak was the one who had the power. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Again, that comes next week. So the question is, are we ready to go down to into the pits of Holy Week? I always feel like it on this Sunday that we're starting to go like this. Until Good Friday and Saturday, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're up like that. Are we ready to allow the events of this week to transform us? I want to encourage you this week to pick one of the four gospel accounts of the Holy Week narrative. Now, I've got, if you're not sure what they are, I can give them to you. I've got them written down right here. But you won't remember them if I tell them right now. And I want you to read all or portions of that each day this week. Do the same one. Stick with the same one. And ask yourself, where am I in this story? And why? Now, before you do this, I want to tell you, I'm not trying to get you to make you feel bad about yourself. This isn't about feeling bad about yourself. That's not scriptural. That's not loving. But what it means is that you and we are human. We all have faults and we need to be transformed. Given that, God still does and can use us to do the work of God, even with our faults. But we have to work at allowing ourselves to be transformed. There's a wonderful story about the Italian violinist Niccolo Paganini. Niccolo Paganini. His thoughts have been, by many, to have been history's greatest exponent of his art. As he swept through Europe in the early 1800s, his fame was somewhat like that of Beatlemania. His skills were so great that it was whispered he gained his ability from a pact with the devil. Now you know he had to be good. And it's said that one evening, Paganini was performing before a packed house. And as he embarked on the final piece, one of the strings on his violin snapped. Now, violin has four strings. So, undeterred, Paganini kept playing on three strings. A few moments later, the second string snapped. And he continued playing on two strings. And then the unbelievable, the third string snapped. And yet Paganini kept going, finishing the piece on just one string. So brilliant was his performance that the crowd rose to their feet to give him a standing ovation. And yet, he was not finished. There was an encore to come. Raising his violin above his head, he called out to the audience, "Paganini and one string." And with that, the orchestra struck up, and Paganini completed his encore with just one string. He was playing a magnificent, but flawed violin that night. Yet, even with three strings broken, he was able to extract beautiful music from it. You and I are like the flawed violin, but God is the player. And even with us, as flawed as we are, God can still make beautiful music. So that's why I'm saying, don't feel bad. Don't feel like you're a horrible person. God can still use you. Just recognize that you're human. And try to allow God to transform you. Are you ready? Are you ready to go through the next 7 days and allow God to transform you? For your sake and my sake, I hope we are. Because I think if we do, we will experience an Easter like we've never experienced Easter before. Just know that as we descend into the pit of Holy Week, we don't go alone. God goes with us. May God bless each of us on our Holy Week pilgrimage, our journey from here to the third day. We go in shouting Hosanna. May we come out shouting Hosanna. Amen.